You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Michael O'Connell, Bailey & Iron lawyer, is on the line. He's in Jakarta right now. Hi, Michael.
G'day, Justin.
You all right?
Yes. Look, I'm okay. We've just been monitoring the media here, Justin, and it's full of the last-minute preparations for the execution. It's really quite frightening to see all this machinery being put in place to kill Andrew and Myra and the others. So it's not really very pleasant viewing, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, I do understand what you mean. I don't want to be gruesome about it, but when you talk about some of those mechanics being put in place, what are they doing?
Oh, look, there's a lot of soldiers, there's a lot of guns, ambulances are going onto the island, pictures of coffins that are going to be used in the executions, things of that kind are really filling the Indonesian media today. And the other sorts of images that really beamed almost live on some of the news channels here.
Michael, there's some appalling pictures that are going around of the families that they're obviously unbelievably upset, but they're surrounded by guards, they're surrounded by military, they're surrounded by media and other people. Is there no way they could have been treated with any more dignity than this?
Look, I think I saw some of that footage that you're referring to, Justin, and it's really distressing to watch. I agree entirely.
Yeah.
Perhaps I could just indicate a bit as to what we've been doing over the last couple of days and where we think...
Oh, please, that. Please.
Yeah. Look, it's clear that just over the last couple of days there has been some intense legal and diplomatic and political pressure that's been applied to the Indonesian government when it sort of restarted this process of going through to execution. And the question for us as we've been here is really how would the Indonesian government respond to that and whether there is any signs that there might be some way through to persuade them to be compassionate and to try and stop this occurring. I think it's clear from what we've seen that the response is generally negative. I think it's also clear that just as in January of this year, the Indonesian government appears to have grossly underestimated the strength of feeling that these executions have generated.
Do you think that's it, Michael, or they just don't care?
Look, I like to think that they've simply underestimated.
Okay.
Strongly, people care about this, and I mean, people all around the world have registered their concern, not just for Andrew and Myron, but for all of the people, of course, that are to be executed. And really, at the heart of this is that sense of the value of human life, the sanctity of human life, and I think it's taken the Indonesian government by surprise, that depth of feeling. And they underestimated it in January, and I think they've underestimated it now. In any event, they should be in no doubt that people care. They may have calculated that that strength of feeling may have waned in the last couple of months. They should be in no doubt now that it has not waned at all. It's intensified. But as I said earlier, the real sort of concern is that the response to that pressure has been to to really become defensive, and it's been very, very negative, and really it's just been so disappointing to see every opportunity provided to the Indonesian government to show compassion, and they've steadfastly refused to do so. There's one.
What about the Indonesian people? Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
Look, I was just going to say there was this one issue that we have been pursuing in this last day or so, and the leading lawyer, Professor Mulya Lubis, leading Indonesian lawyer on behalf of Andrew and Mara, is down at Cilacap, and I understand he'll be talking to the media, if not now, then shortly, about these Judicial Commission proceedings, an investigation into those allegations of corruption. The trial lawyer came out
to ask you about that.
Yeah, the trial lawyer came out on Sunday, Mohammed Griffin, and he detailed these allegations again. And the reason he did so, as we understand it, was because although the our lawyers had filed an official complaint with the Judicial Commission back on the 13th of February, the witnesses to that complaint, and in particular the trial lawyer, Mohammed Griffin, who's made these allegations, he hadn't been interviewed. And he realised that the execution was about to proceed and so went public again. And we've made some appeals to the Judicial Commission to now at last properly start a thorough and impartial investigation. And we've heard only this morning that they've reacted to that by summonsing Bapak Mulya Lubis, the lead lawyer, to the Judicial Commission for further discussions about the investigation. So there's been some response, but this has been 2 months where it doesn't appear anything's happened, and that's very distressing because these allegations, if Andrew and Myron are executed, they won't be able to be interviewed about these allegations.
Of course, yeah. Michael, do you believe these allegations? Do you believe that there was corruption? There was talk of bribery, but the government stepped in. Do you believe it?
Well, look, the way we approach it is this: Mohammed Griffin was the trial lawyer then, but he remains a practicing lawyer in Bali, and he's decided, off his own bat, to come forward and to make these allegations in circumstances where it can't be very good for his career prospects. He's doing it by making allegations against judges that some have retired, but some are still practicing, as we understand it. So that tends to give the allegations a fair bit of credibility, and certainly they deserve to be properly investigated if someone in that position is making them in those circumstances. So the real possibility arises here that Andrew and Myron might be sentenced to death, or might be actually put to death, in circumstances where they could have been not sentenced to death, where they could have avoided that sentence, if money had been paid.
Yeah.
And that's just an extraordinary taint on the whole process. It just shows how defective the legal process leading to this sentence of death was, and it's just extraordinary if their execution could proceed without this being properly investigated.
And do you believe that if they are executed, that then, which is obviously way too late for them and way too late for their families and bloody awful, but then that whole talk of bribery would just drop away as though it had never existed, never happened?
Well, it all becomes hollow, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, what's the point?
Ultimately, if the findings made that there was corruption and that it tainted the sentence, it matters not to the family or to Andrew and Myron. Of course, it matters now because it is a very strong basis on which to stay their execution pending a proper investigation.
I know that you're caught up in these things, that you're caught up with the legal process, but there's also other talk that the men are not allowed to have their own religious representation, not allowed to have their own chaplains. There's also talk that Myron Sukumaran has said that he will not wear a blindfold and will look them straight in the face. How does that affect you when you hear those things?
Oh, look, I think it's very disappointing with respect to the to Christy Buckingham and David Soper not being able to be with Andrew and Myron at that time. That was their request, Mitchell,
yeah.
I know, particularly to Andrew. So that's very disappointing. The other aspect of your question, I think, was about looking the
executioners
in the eye. Yeah. Can I say this about this? Look, right throughout this process, Andrew and Myron have been magnificent. They've been very strong. They don't want to die. They've completely transformed their lives. And really what they're doing is just underlining how pointless it is to execute them now. I mean, they're worth much more to combating the drug problem alive than they are dead. They know that.